Thank you, choir. And as we are celebrating freedom here this morning, it comes, of course, because Friday was the 4th of July, Independence Day, reminding us that in 1776, our country declared its independence from England, and it's often a time where we celebrate our freedom. And I'm going to just assume that most of us out there are Americans, and you know what freedom is. You have more freedom than anyone else, and yet, probably like myself, a lot of you take that freedom for granted. I know I have been raised in America, and while I don't always, I'm not always able to quote it verbatim, I am familiar with the principle of freedom as stated in the preamble of the Declaration of Independence. And we have that up on the screen where it says, we hold, caught him sleeping up there, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, like I said, we don't maybe have that memorized, but we certainly live with that intention, live with understanding that we have this freedom. And we also know that our country's history is not perfect. We know that all men didn't always apply to all men, and certainly didn't apply to all women. And yet I am proud to be an American because I realize the freedoms that this country gives pale in comparison to other countries. And as I said, I often take that for granted until I go visit another country. And then I realize how fortunate we really are. About 2 years ago, I had the privilege of visiting some missionaries from our church in a former Soviet country. And there, as we gathered with them and some other Christian mission workers in the field, we had to huddle in the corner of a restaurant as we talked. And we had to keep our voices low, especially when we mentioned the name Jesus and mentioned church and Christian work. Why? Because in that former Soviet country, they don't have the freedoms that we have. We have an incredible amount of freedom in this country, and I hope we never take that for granted. And it is no accident that on this Sunday, as we celebrate freedom, the scripture passage that we are looking at today has Jesus talking about freedom. We planned that. And in the scripture passage that we're looking at today, Jesus utters those words that are so important. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So let's unpack this passage just a little bit as Jesus talks about freedom. Who is he talking to? The Gospel of John tells us he's talking to believing Jews, Jews who believed in him. Now, they certainly didn't understand everything there was to know about Jesus. They probably did not understand yet that he was the Son of God and that he had come to give us freedom from sin. But apparently they are followers of Yahweh who see something special in Jesus. This teacher teaches with an authority like no other. And so they are following him. They are listening to him. They are trying to understand what he is teaching. And Jesus talks to them about the issue of freedom. He says, if you follow my teachings, then you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And I love their response. We need to be set free. We are descendants of Abraham. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we need to be set free? I love that line. They say, we're never been slaves to anyone. Apparently, they don't know their history. What is the salvation event in the Old Testament that defines what God did for the Jewish people? It's the Exodus. They left Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They also have apparently forgotten that in 722 BC, when they were not following God as they should have, the Assyrians came down from the north and conquered the northern 10 tribes of Israel. They've also forgotten that in 587 BC, the Babylonians came and conquered the remaining southern two tribes, including the city of Jerusalem, destroying their temple and exiling many of the best and brightest to Babylon, where they remained for two generations. Even when they were allowed to return, it was only because foreign powers allowed them to. And at the very moment they are uttering to Jesus, "We have never been slaves to anyone," they are under Roman control and authority. They have certain freedoms, but they're not really as free as they think they are. As I read this passage in light of today's message, I had to think it almost would be as if Jesus was talking to Americans, right? If Jesus came to us today and said, "You need to be set free," would many Americans not have that same attitude? What do you mean we need to be set free? We are the freest people on the face of the planet. Not only do we have the privilege of freedom, we have the right of freedom, which is guaranteed in our Constitution. And in that First Amendment, we have the right and the freedom to worship as we want. We have freedom of speech. We have freedom of the press. We have the freedom to assemble. And by the way, we even have the freedom to petition our government when we don't agree with what we're doing. We might look at Jesus and say, "How can you say we need to be set free? We are freer than anyone else." But just as when Jesus was talking to the Jews in his day, and I think the message applies to us today, Jesus is not talking about a political freedom. He's talking about a spiritual freedom that goes much deeper. He says, "Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. They are like," he says, "a slave, and a slave has no part of the family, but a son or a daughter, but a child, why, they're part of the family forever. And of course, we know they will receive the inheritance of the family as well." Jesus is talking about being enslaved regardless of your political situation. And as I looked at this passage trying to draw out principles that would apply to us as Americans today, I realized there are some lessons that we can learn about freedom. And the first of those is, the bottom line is, while we are Americans and we are free, we're probably not as free as we think. We are not as free as we think we are. If you look up the definition of freedom, it would say someone who is free has the ability to act, think, or speak without fear of restraint or punishment. Are we really as free as we think we are? Do we have the ability to act and think and speak without fear of restraint? I guess it depends on what area you're talking about. I looked at some statistics this week. Did you know the average American family has $8,500 worth of unsecured debt? Now, unsecured debt basically means credit card debt. Two-thirds of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Last year, 40% of Americans spent 110% of their income. Do the math on that. Are they free or are they in bondage? Some other statistics. 9%, almost 1 in 10 Americans have a drug problem, whether it's illegal drugs or abusing prescription drugs. In the last 12 months, 30% of Americans abused alcohol at least once. 1 in 8 are alcohol dependent. Are we really free? Or are we in bondage? And we can quote lots of statistics, but we know there's lots of things that can keep us from being free besides money, besides substance abuse. It might be destructive relationships. It might be that dead-end, unfulfilling job. It could be just unmet expectations that everybody's putting on you and you just can't seem to break free from that. The real bottom line is, I think you can just wrap it all up in one big package and say, it's culture. We're enslaved to our culture because we let our culture define success. We let our culture define how we should live. And if you don't live, if you don't achieve what culture says you should, then you're a failure. And so you keep trying to live up to the expectations of our culture. You buy in to the philosophy only to find out later what it really cost you. Your freedom. As Americans, in one sense, we are freer than anyone on the planet. But in another sense, we're enslaved to so many things, including our bad choices, including other people's bad choices. We're not as free as we think is maybe the first lesson we can learn from this passage. But the second lesson, and this is an important one, is we can find freedom, but we're never going to find it outside of Jesus Christ. You will never find true freedom outside of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it's not about being politically free. It's about being free to live as God has designed you, as God has purposed you. And you're never going to find that without the power of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a group called Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge is a group that helps teenagers get out of substance abuse issues. And Teen Challenge is a Christian-based organization, meaning as part of the program, you have mandatory scripture reading, mandatory Bible studies, and when you pray, you don't pray to some significant being, you pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Teen Challenge has a success rate of somewhere around 70%, which is incredibly high when you look at the issues they deal with. In fact, it's so high that secular and government programs looked at Teen Challenge and said, how are you doing what you do? We want to model our programs after your programs. And so they did. They did everything exactly the same, except because it's a government or secular program, they can't mandate scripture reading. They can't mandate Bible studies. And while they encourage you to pray to a significant being, they can't tell you to pray in the name of Jesus. You know what the success rate for these government programs is? Around 15%. The only difference is what we call the Jesus factor. One program has Jesus and the other program is identical, except they've taken Jesus out, and look at the difference in the success rate. Now, I don't know what it is that enslaves you. I don't know what it is that has you in bondage. It may be some of the issues I have mentioned. It may be something else. But if you want to break free, don't you think you'd want the Jesus factor in your life? Wouldn't you want to tap in to the one who can give you the power to break free? And by the way, when we're talking about statistics and percentages here and there, here's the bottom line. All of us are enslaved to sin. 100% of us have sinned. Scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when there is sin in our life and we need forgiveness and we need to break free from the control it has on us, 100% of us need Jesus in our life. And I'm here to tell you, you will never break free from that sin without inviting Him as your Lord and Savior. And so if you feel enslaved and you feel in bondage and you feel like something's holding you back, the first and most important step is you need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And if you haven't done that, I want you to do that this morning. I want you to come and talk to myself or Pastor Jeff or Pastor Faye. I want you to come and say, I need Jesus. Be more than happy to pray that prayer with you on how to invite Him into your life. That is the most important thing that can happen, because you will only find true freedom in Jesus. You can't do it on your own. You need to tap into His power and experience His grace and forgiveness. But the third lesson is, if we want to break free from those things that we have in bondage, Jesus tells us in this passage it requires two things. And the first of those is you need to know the truth. Jesus says, if you follow my teachings, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay, now we're going to get a little geeky here, okay? I'm sorry for this. But when you look at the word in Greek used for knowledge or to know, it's the word gnosko, okay? What's interesting is throughout the entire Gospel of John, this word for knowledge, gnosko, is always used in conjunction with the word for belief. In other words, okay, in other words, try one more time there. In other words, it's not just enough to know knowledge in your head. You've also got to put that knowledge in your heart and believe and trust in Him. So when Jesus says you need to know the truth in order to find freedom, He's not just saying, know that I am the Son of God, but receive me as the Son of God. You've got to know in the sense of belief and acceptance. But once you've accepted, then you also have to live the truth. Another interesting thing about this word believe in the Gospel of John, it is never used in its noun form. It is always a verb. The Greek word is pistuo. Why? Because when you know and believe, it requires action. It requires that you do something about it. Why did Jesus say, if you hold to my teachings, you will be my disciples and you will know the truth? Because Jesus knew that if you really want to experience freedom in your life, you've got to live out your life according to the teachings of God. You have got to substitute what culture is trying to tell you and how culture is telling you to live with how God tells you to live. You've got to put some things into practice. Now, when we were talking about this sermon in our preparation this week, someone asked me, they said, Brian, what would you tell the person who's sitting out there and who says, I've truly believed Jesus is the Son of God. I have truly given my heart. I've asked for forgiveness in His name. But when I try to live out things, I still feel in bondage and I just can't make the commitments I need to make to turn things around. What would you tell them? And I said, well, I would probably quote Dr. Phil when he says, how's that working for you? And I know this is a serious subject, and I don't mean to be dismissive, but here's the bottom line, okay? When we find ourselves in bondage, we can usually look at the choices that we're making, the decisions that we make that go against God's word, and they're not godly decisions. They're not godly principles. Why? Because we've let culture define the standards and principles by which we live by. And we're not going to find freedom in our finances. We're not going to find freedom in our destructive, broken relationships. We're not going to break free from culture and all it tells us to do until we replace culture's standards with God's standards. And I know that's easy to say and hard to do, but it's the only way we're going to be free, truly free indeed. And the power to make those decisions, the power to live the truth, comes from that second lesson. Knowing, believing, trusting in the power of Jesus Christ to help you do that. Now, as we get ready to close this service, we always have a time of commitment. And earlier we had communion. It was great because people were coming to the altar. And I know how it is when pastors give an altar call. People don't want to come forward because, oh man, people will think I have all those problems that Pastor Brian talked about. And I don't want them talking about me when I go up there. But here's the bottom line. We're all enslaved. We're all sinners. We all have something. Something that's holding us back from being the man or the woman that God has called us to be. I have it in my life. And I know you have in your life as well. And I would invite you as we sing Amazing Grace to come to the altar and experience the freedom that God wants to give you. And maybe as you come, pray in this manner. Come up and pray and lay your hands on the altar together almost as if you're in handcuffs, in chains. And pray for God to deliver you of whatever it is that's holding you back. And then as you get up after your prayer and go back to your seat, go back with your hands apart. Separate your hands just as a sign of knowing, God, I may be enslaved, but you and your Son, Jesus Christ, are the one that can set me free. We're going to stand and sing about God's amazing grace that has given us a freedom that comes from Jesus Christ. As you stand and sing, maybe you want to come to the altar. Maybe you want to commit your life to Jesus. Maybe you just want to pray about an issue that's holding you back. Do so at this time as Jack leads.